Welcome to the More Perfect Union, a podcast that offers real debate without the hate. Tonight I'm joined by our smaller round table, but no less distinguished. We have Greg Matusak,
a common sense liberal who is still a fan of the Croatian team. Go Croatia! From Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yay, Ohio. And Rebecca Kuschmider.
I am an enemy of the people as a member of the Ersatz Media and a progressive feminist from Kensington, Maryland.
And I'm Kevin Kelton, and I'm all of that, plus I've got the world's biggest heart. But
did anyone watch the World Cup today, by the way?
Nope.
No.
No. I watched Wimbledon. I was watching tennis.
Okay, for the record, Matusak is a Croatian name.
Now you're putting
the dots together, and that's why we were doomed to lose, because sports ball. Damn it.
And we don't want to go too far before plugging our website, moreperfectunionpodcast.com, where you can find articles that we write during the week, as well as these podcasts. And Rebecca, this week, your Pop Goes the Political Culture column was about?
I was talking about how Kylie Jenner is not a self-made billionaire, but Serena Williams is the greatest athlete of all time and is self-made in every way.
That's true.
Webster really put the smack down on her, didn't she?
Wasn't her fault. She did not write that headline, and I have no beef with Kylie Jenner. I think whoever wrote the Forbes headline is just being dumb. But I'm not here to tear down other successful women. I would rather build up amazing women like Serena Williams, who is just my hero.
Okay, I like her too. And we're going to turn right now to what's been happening in the news the past 7 days. Feels like a month. I know that's cliche, but
every week in this administration feels like a month. There were six really months. Does. I know.
I remember. I'm going to be able to tell my kids someday. I'm going to be able to say, I remember a time when I could watch the news for 2 or 3 days and not hear any major Obama or presidential, you know, stories. It was possible to have news that wasn't about the president.
Oh, no. It was news about the president, but it was news like Obama wore tan suit. Everyone yes. freak out.
Obama got a dog. Oh, he got another dog.
Obama was caught smoking. World in crisis. Even let's go back. Ronald Reagan was seen consulting an astrologer or his wife, astrologist.
Yeah.
You know, or it was a happier, simpler time. George W. Bush fell off something, a bike, a log, something.
It was a Segway.
It was a Segway.
And also a couch.
A couch.
Yes. Yes.
He was the Jack Tripper of presidents.
But who among us has not taken a nap on the couch and kind of rolled off?
I know. But, I mean, nowadays it's like, literally, thank God, I mean, Twitter's a double-edged sword, because in one sense we have, you know, Twitter. And on the other side, it just keeps me up to date on, like, all the stuff that happens, like boom, 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 such as, and I'll let you use that as your segue.
To the Mueller indictments and the 12 Russians who are biting their nails this weekend, not knowing whether they'll live in freedom in Russia for the rest of their lives.
Well, they're going to have to live in Russia for the rest of their lives, because they sure as hell can't travel to any country with an extradition treaty with the United States where Interpol operates. I mean, they're stuck in Russia. They're like the Julian Assanges of Russia.
That's right. So, obviously, those indictments hit everybody as very specific, going deeper into the crime itself than anybody had anticipated, at least for a long time. But what do you think? Is it a game changer, or is it just another little thing that Trump will kind of sideswipe?
I mean, Trump is sideswiping, and he's blaming Obama, which is absurd, because the DNC and the Clinton campaign were not government entities. Obama had no jurisdiction over their IT systems, and you know, the FBI found out after the fact that the intrusion had occurred, and then they began investigating it. It's a pretty interesting situation to be naming names of 12 individual Russian government personnel.
High level.
This isn't like Russian hacker who may or may not be connected to the Kremlin. This is like if somebody in our CIA was named by a foreign government for doing something like this. It's clearly a Russian governmental attack.
Right. And the report went on to say definitively, I believe, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, that Putin was aware of this.
Well, I don't think the report... In fact, I read that the report did not state his name, but...
I mean, he has to, but this is the Russian equivalent of the CIA.
Right, right.
Somebody at a high level in Russian government knew about this. Perhaps Putin can claim plausible deniability, but I don't believe his ass.
Right. The other GOP aspect of this and their spin on it is, well, still no Americans have been indicted on these shenanigans and on this. So... there is that. It's not that big of a game changer. Everyone in this country, except for Donald Trump, has admitted that the Russians did meddle. And even Donald Trump has said, well, what are you going to do about it? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but what are you going to do about it? You know, boy, Russians will be Russians.
If somebody could get a meeting with Putin and, like, sit down with the guy and say, hey, no more meddling, bruh. But, you know, how would you get a meeting like that? Who has that kind of access?
Do you guys think he should take the meeting?
No!
Okay, good. I couldn't tell if you were being serious. I mean...
no, he should not be taking the meeting. The Putin's government actively tried to change the outcome of our election. I just read the latest report is that the Russian agencies have had fake accounts posing as local news outlets on Twitter, you know, and they would go, they existed for years posting things like, you know, Joe Smith elected dog catcher, firefighter saves puppy, or school board buys lunches, you know, for years, so that then they could start inserting pro-Russian agenda news stories, and people would be like, well, yes, this is my local Twitter outlet that I believe. So they've been playing a long game, deliberately trying to manipulate the way we think.
Okay. So none of us are for Putin.
It's worked. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I was in a conversation this week, Kevin, I think you were privy to it on Facebook, where somebody was, you know, saying, well, it's not really all about this Russian stuff. We need to talk about what that FBI agent was texting his girlfriend. I mean, the deflection is astonishing from people who should really know better.
Yes. But again, it's only astonishing if you think that they're doing it by accident. What these people are doing is so calculated to confuse the issue, to turn the page against the FBI. In that context, what they do makes perfect sense.
Yeah, the fact that the Putin is now evidently the friend of the Republican Party and the FBI is the enemy of the Republican Party is really a plot twist that I could not have predicted in the story that is America.
I just think Strzok should be fired. I mean, do you think what he did was a fireable offense?
I don't know. Was he using an FBI phone? Somebody indicated that.
Yes.
I don't know. Are you allowed to send personal texts on a government-owned phone?
That's a good question.
Okay, I'll interrupt you, and I apologize. He was using an FBI phone, and so was his co-worker. We'll keep this classy. They were using government phones because they didn't want their spouses to know about their affair. Because, you know, and they were then like, hey, don't look at this phone, because it's FBI and, you know, you might see something that you shouldn't. Now, let's be clear. That's wrong. Okay? And
yeah,
two,
but
you shouldn't.
Them and their spouses.
Yeah, but you shouldn't use. And I don't know if that's a law, but. And I don't know if that's fireable. So all the stuff, all the sexy talk and all the pillow talk. That's probably, I don't know if that's fireable or not, but that's wrong. I'm not going to condone that.
Well, of course it's wrong. But the question is, I mean, and none of us know FBI.
Yeah,
no,
we don't have the employee handbook
I've never been there.
To check.
No.
I mean, but I have known, my husband worked for the House of Representatives for years, and he would text me stuff from his BlackBerry that was office issued. And I mean, it was like,
oh, hey, we don't want to hear this.
I mean, it was always incredibly, but we're both very cognizant of, you know, our government you know, or employer issued stuff. And, you know, so it'd be like, hey, I need you to pick up some milk, that kind of stuff. But, you know, we did it. Personal texts were just kind of our part of our daily routine. We were just careful what we said.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that would probably not get anyone fired. Sure.
Certainly hope not.
No.
Or fired in retrospect, since I'm admitting it on a podcast.
Yeah. The issue about the, you know, we'll never let Trump become president, and how conspiratorial the tone, and that's the problem with texts, the tone. Was it sarcastic? Was it in jest? Was it like, oh, okay, well, you know, don't worry, I'll take down the servers at 9:15 because we'll never let him, you know, become president. You know, it's really hard to tell of the tone of a text. You know, I tell my children that, you know, anything you write on the internet, anything you write on Facebook, anything you write in text, you have to be careful because there is no, you know, they don't know how people will take it.
Right. But absent other evidence of a conspiracy to deprive Donald Trump of the office of the presidency, you know, such as him having been deprived of the office of the presidency, I don't think that we can assume that Peter, man whose last name I can't pronounce, was a conspirator.
Yeah. And if he was, he wasn't very good at it.
No, he was terrible at it.
Terrible.
But, you know, the fact that he didn't want Donald Trump to be president when he had intimate knowledge of, you know, the crimes that were alleged to be connected to Donald Trump, that's telling.
Right. And the other question is, did this have anything to do with the Mueller investigation? Which the answer is no.
Mm-mm.
This is just a distraction. And Trey Gowdy should be ashamed of himself.
Trey Gowdy lacks the capacity for shame. You guys are attributing normal human emotions to people that had, like, sold those on the black market.
I would like someday while he's, like, stealing Christmas from a village, that he'll look down over and he'll say, oh my gosh, and his heart will grow three sizes, and he'll, like, he'll get those emotions back.
It could happen.
Oh, please. Please,
clap if you believe in fairies, here, folks.
No, I'm just hoping the people who own the Seuss fortune don't sue me for that one.
Well, that'll be fun.
Now that we're talking about fiction and fairy tales,
yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen has a new TV show coming on. You guys up to speed on what this is going to be? And
oh, it's
yes.
awesome!
He's so stinking funny. Oh my god.
So if you haven't seen it yet, it actually debuts tonight, which is, we're doing this on Sunday. I know a lot of you, like, piecemeal this out, like, oh, this is such a good podcast. I want to listen to a little bit on Monday and maybe some on Thursday. But if you haven't seen it yet, it debuts on Sunday night at 10 o'clock on Showtime. I got a chance to watch it on demand, and it's really good. But what he's doing is he's using whatever influences, and he's doing this in Washington, D.C. And the opening bit is he's talking to Bernie Sanders and as this conspiracy nut. And the only reservation I have, and he's doing this with all sorts of Washington people, lobbyists, from the left and the right. And he uses a lot of different characters. And the only thing it reminds me similar to, he puts them on camera and he says things and he lets them talk. Excuse me. Is it reminds me a little bit of Project Veritas. And this is what I want to kind of talk about.
Okay.
If you take a horse to water and you give it enough rope to hang itself. How many metaphors does it take till it dies? And that's kind of what he's doing. And that's kind of the thing that Project Veritas does, except he's doing this for our entertainment, where Project Veritas does it for spite and evil. And we're supposed to take Project Veritas, at least the right of the country is supposed to take it for, like, oh, this is like truth. And, you know, we're going to close this down, these corrupt government. But, you know, if these aren't your people, we're going to be angry. So, yeah.
Well, and he's already, I mean, he's been filming this for a while. It's been kept very secret, which is probably the only way it could be done. But, you know, he's gotten, like Greg said, he got Bernie Sanders. He got Sarah Palin. Ted Koppel actually asked him to leave his house because he was going on about inauguration crowd size. And Ted Koppel realized that there was no point in being part of the conversation. But then one thing he did where he went in pretending to be, I don't know, like Dutch or something, and saying that there was a program overseas to train preschoolers to use guns. And he wanted all these different conservatives to endorse it. And he got like Trent Lott and Joe Walsh and Dana Rohrabacher to read this script as if they're endorsing a program called Kinder Guardians. To train certain preschoolers, exceptional ones, not, you know, your average pasty preschooler,
yeah,
I guess, to use guns because that defense will help. I can't remember, it was Trent Lott saying, you know, you can't expect a preschooler to defend against a bad guy by throwing an eraser at him. And I'm like, honestly, some of these are sitting officials. Where is their staff? Where is their communications person to? And like, I posted the clip in my column this week. You can watch it. It's beyond appalling what these people are saying.
It's beyond appalling. He got one person who's he's one of the heads for a gun lobbyist group to do a commercial, and part of the commercial had guns with stuffed animals attached to them, and it was an instruction. Did you see that part?
No, I don't think I saw that part. I just saw the part where it was members of Congress. And like Trent Lott, former Senate Majority Leader, a man who's not stupid.
Right. Right. But the part with this gentleman did a commercial, and it was like the man sang a song called Head, Shoulders, Not the Toes. Aim for head, shoulders, not the toes.
God.
And he went on and on. I mean, and this guy was like all into it. Another part of this thing, he had, I want to say he was a member of the NRA or not. They were laughing about, it's not rape if it's your wife joke. And they kept on joking. It was horrible. I had to pause it because I was like, no, that just didn't happen. I don't want to tell everything. I don't want to talk too much about this because I want people to like watch it and get truly horrified.
Thing. I mean, if you remember his show from 10 or 15 years ago to Ali G's show,
awesome.
He did these immersive characters where he pretended to be any number of different creations of his own and looped in people without their knowledge. I mean, they signed release forms to be on camera, but they didn't know that he was really messing with them. And people would say, you know, kind of embarrassing stuff because he was leading him down these ridiculous roads. And that's his gift. He's there to, like Greg said, give the horse enough water to hang himself, whatever you said.
It was a beautiful metaphor.
It was a beautiful metaphor, and I've completely mangled it now. You know, that's what he does. And he's unrecognizable in these character guises. He's, you know, it's not like you can sort of stare at him and be like, don't I know you from somewhere? But the Washington Post had an interesting take on it that it was like, well, yeah, we already knew these people are horrible. We know what darkness lurks in the hearts of men now. And pulling it up again doesn't feel good now. It doesn't prove anything. We already knew it. Because these people have been saying it in all seriousness since the middle of 2016.
One of the things he does is he went in as a very liberal character.
I read about that. That sounded so funny.
Into what?
He went into the house of a very, very conservative family, very Republican family in South Carolina. And he tried to trigger them. And this was the part that was interesting because these weren't elected officials and they were wonderful. They were trying to be as nice as possible to this person who was way beyond the left as possible and trying to say like really terrible, like this is a stereotypical far, far, far left person. And they were like, you actually do this? And they were trying to meet his person halfway. And I keep saying this week after week, no, these are good people. This wasn't someone who was a lobbyist who was paid to be. I mean, no, these were people who had invited and it was a nice aspect of the show that I really enjoyed. And I thought that was really nice. But also, do you guys remember the Borat movie a couple years ago?
Oh, my God. Sure. That yeah. movie was so and, funny and wrong.
Yeah.
It was wrong.
It was funny as wrong. But do you remember this? There was a scene where there were three college kids who had picked him up, or a couple college kids who picked him up, and they started saying all this racist stuff after they got drunk on a RV or something like that. And it did a lot of damage to them personally, I guess, their lives and their university did. I mean, and they were like, oh, gosh, if we knew it was going, if there, you know, it was going to be in a movie, we wouldn't. We thought it was just going to be in this documentary in a foreign land. We wouldn't have said all those things. And yeah, I know if there's a camera sitting there, you shouldn't say stuff. And these are your words. I mean, you're sitting right there. But once again, he's pulling these things out. And even if you're sitting there and you're trying to be polite and you don't jump up and scream, no, that's not me, it's tough. He puts people in situations where maybe they wouldn't be there normally. I'm not defending racism, ever. But would those kids have said that just normally? Maybe.
But you know what? This is the same thing that you know, the CEO of Papa John's is talking about this right now. He's like, no, they led me down a road, and that's why I was using the N-word and saying these
things.
I'm
no,
like, you know what?
Yeah.
But it's actually pretty easy to go through life not saying racist stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you could catch me in a completely drunken, unguarded moment, and I wouldn't say racist things. That's not part of my makeup. You guys, same thing. DJ, wherever he is right now, same thing. We just don't say that stuff because it's not part of who we are. So if you get caught saying it, it's because there's a piece of you that says it. Unless you are being handed a card and reading it aloud, it's you. And it's easy not to be that person, and some people are that person.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we've been putting our elected officials on a little higher plane that they have to walk ethically over the last few years. But now that media is not just holding the John Edwards accountable or, you know, Donald Trump's accountable, but now that it's turning that gotcha camera onto real people, I wonder whether the feeling about that as a method is going to have some shift. Right now, people don't seem to mind when we have gotcha stuff about Donald Trump or gotcha stuff about Hillary Clinton. But will it change public perception about that if real people start to see the results?
Well, and here's the other question. Is there actually a repercussion right now to saying truly awful things? Because people are saying truly awful things. My neighbor in my own neighborhood had a banner on the top of his roof that said, Trump, no more bullshit. Like, in a suburb, he lives two doors down from people I know who have four kids under the age of 11. So maybe being awful is part of who we are right now. Maybe that's part of the American dialogue at the moment, and Sacha Baron Cohen demonstrating that, yeah, people suck isn't going to shock anyone.
Yeah.
Which is depressing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it all down.
Well, no, but, you know, to bring things back up, there are people out there trying to change that. And one of them is going to be featured in our swing district report. So
I'm trying to make a swing district song, but I'm not the musician on this show. Greg.
Greg,
give us a theme song.
See, I think the district report shouldn't be a song. It should just be a beat. It should be like district report.
Very Seinfeld. I like it.
Yes, that's outstanding.
I was absolutely not going for Seinfeld. I was going for Beat City or something like that, but go for it. Okay.
So in the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio, we have a very young nominee for the Democratic Party running for the House seat in a special election that's going to be held on August 7th, not far away from now. Danny O'Connor is the candidate. And Greg, have you followed this at all? It's in your state.
It's about an hour and a half from me. It's right outside of Columbus. And it's a really interesting one because U.S. Representative Pat Tibbery. We are just shitty with names tonight.
I know, we are bad. We need DJ. Where is he to correct us on all the things that we're wrong about? He hasn't told me how anything's going to be worse tonight. Like, I feel
yes,
like we're...
I know.
We're missing a limb.
It's bad. He stepped down earlier this year, and Kasich set a special election for the in the beginning of August, so about a month away. No, only about 3 weeks away. And what's interesting about this is Danny O'Connor, who's the Danny O'Connor, young man.
Danny
who's,
boy, the pipes who's the pipes are calling. Sorry.
Danny, who's the state, who's the auditor for Franklin County. He's a nice young man. He will be running against the Troy Balderson. He's a state senator, also from around that area, obviously. And they will be running, but it's only a five-month term. So in August they run. And then both of them will have to run again in November if they want to keep that seat.
Right, right.
So basically, so it's a placeholder special election, someone who can hold the seat until the next general.
Right, yes. Exactly. Well, yeah.
Until January 2019.
Right,
But there's going to be a general to fill it.
He's a seat warmer.
It's not a placeholder. It's a special election. Okay. Yeah, but this area went heavy Trump. Okay, but once again, the blue wave. As far as votes and everything, the other thing that's really must be said is it could have been. But there was someone running in the Republican primary named Kevin Bacon. And he lost.
But not Kevin Bacon?
And it's not Kevin Bacon. And that,
see, that's disappointing. I would prefer it to be Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, and he lost big time. He lost. He only got about 6,000 votes.
He try dancing?
Yeah, he tried. Trust me, he capitalized on. If you were named Kevin Bacon, you would do everything like. Hey.
How many degrees are you guys from Kevin Bacon? Kevin, I imagine you're like 1 degree from Kevin Bacon.
I actually, you know what? I don't know that I've ever figured it out one way or the other.
I'm 1 degree from Kevin Bacon.
Really? I think I'm 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
But if you ran in an election against somebody named Kevin Bacon, does that count as a degree?
Yes.
You 1 degree away from him?
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Probably. But I mean, he. This guy was. I'm sure was putting up signs like "Be Footloose and vote for me." you know.
I've never seen the movie Footloose. Like I somehow failed the 80s.
It's so good. All the great Kevin Bacon ones. but he lost. But the other aspect about this, as far as raw numbers, the guy who did won, Troy Balderson only won with about 19,000 votes in his primary, and only about 20% of the Republican primary. It was pretty close race. I think he won by only 2 or 3%. Meanwhile, Danny O'Connor won overwhelmingly, 40-some-odd percent, with 17,000 votes, okay? So it looks like it's going to be a much closer. It is now being considered a toss-up district. So this is why it's on our swing district report.
So is that toss-up by who's saying toss-up? Cook Report or
Real Clear?
Yes.
Clear and 538. I think are all
Woo-hoo!
Calling it.
So all the numbers
that could be great. that's another one for Ohio. I think that brings Ohio to 2 that are now in, or maybe 3 even. I know 12, and I want to say either 9 or 4. I can't remember. So that's huge for us.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, huge, huge. Ohio is, and I know if DJ was here, DJ would say, Ohio's a red state, blah, blah, and I'd say, no, we are the swingingest of all swinging states. We're like Bob, Ted, Carol, and Alice.
Well, my friend Abby.
Thank you. I know Kevin would like that one.
Hi, Abby. My friend Abby, who is a loyal listener and an Ohio native, after we had our argument about Ohio the last time, texted me the next morning. She's like, Ohio's the best. Ohio's the most important state. So Abby's right. DJ's wrong.
Yeah. Ohio, seeing as I lived in Ohio almost all my life, Ohio is the most important state, and we appreciate all the advertising money that it brings us.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio is a bellwether state. As goes Ohio, so goes the nation, and that's been true for presidential contests dating back to some ridiculous amount, which I was stunned about when I first moved to Ohio, and professors in the poli-sci program kept telling me that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys aren't that important. Come on. Because I come from, like, New York and California. No. I thought those states were important.
No.
But it turns out I'm wrong. It's all about Ohio.
No, in addition to that, we have more presidents that have come from Ohio. And
yeah,
I
but
think
some of them
dating...
are Taft, so.
What's that?
Some of them are like Bob Taft.
Yeah, yeah, and William Henry Harrison too. I mean, not kidding, by the way. And in addition to that, I think we've called the election in Ohio all the way back to 1780. I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, it's really
it's not really. Ohio didn't become a state until like 1803. So
oh. Right, yeah, but
I thought
Ohio
someone
has
would call
sort of
shenanigans on that.
Like, it is the heartbeat of the nation is in Ohio. I once did the math, the electoral math of the states I've lived in, and it brings me very close to winning the presidency. Because I've got New York, California, Ohio, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and technically Alabama, but I don't think I could win Alabama.
Did you have residency in Alabama?
Not as a, not as an adult. But,
no, I don't think you can count that. I think you
have
to be.
Well, but I mean,
I think you have to be registered to vote.
Okay. Well, I've been registered to vote in all those states except for Alabama.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a license to drive in all those states except for Alabama.
Voting age in most of those states is 18. Although Alabama, you never know.
Yeah. We were in Alabama from the time I was 2 until I was about 4, so I could not vote or drive or get married or own a gun.
I don't know about that.
So.
Why did we go off on Alabama?
Well, we were talking about my electoral chances, should I ever run for president.
Low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging
I mean, if
fruit.
Anybody wants to donate to the Rebecca Kushmiter for president 2020...
Favorite daughter.
The committee to elect. Every state. I think, yeah. No, like I say, I don't think I could win Alabama. I think they'd take one look at my history and decide I was a little too pro-choice for them. But everywhere else, they might be willing to claim me.
So the president, he's done with the royals. He's now moved on to the Russians. And what do you see coming for the next week? Will he be for Putin, against Putin, for the people of the U.S., or enemies of the people of the
well,
U.S.?
Well, can we talk about the royals for a second? And can we go back to that? I mean,
sure.
You just like brush over like, oh, you know, the royals and this week in England. It felt so long ago.
It was yesterday.
For him, it was like the longest day of his life. Because everyone kept you. He had all these people like, no, don't use that fork. No. No.
Well, and Charles and William refused to meet with him. They're like, no.
No. And let me just point out, no one protests like the British. They make everyone else just look like.
I mean, did you see the balloon? Trump baby balloon.
The Trump, everything from the Trump balloon to even the soccer hooligans came out, and they were supposed to be watching, you know, the World Cup. But once England got out, they're like, ah, let's go protest. I mean, they protest for realsies. Their signs were vulgar. They made me. I had to turn off the news because my kids were watching. I mean, and they were like, we're done with this. This is for real. They were hardcore. And my favorite moment was if you watched Fox, looked at the Fox website today, they were like, there was a pro-Trump rally today.
Yeah, I saw that. And then people are circulating a picture. They're like, this was really the pro-Trump rally. But it's a photo from Tahrir Square in 2011, and it's Muslims praying. I'm like, you guys are stupid.
Right, but
there was
like, I don't know, just like 1,000 people who showed up versus the 250,000 people who showed up to protest him. I mean,
right.
that's bonkers.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I mean, that's a crazy number, but.
Well, and then there was the photo or the video of him walking somewhere with Queen Elizabeth.
All right, let's talk about this. Keep going.
Yeah, he's twice her height and half her age, and he like. kind of elbows her aside to get in front of her. And, like, what does that accomplish? And first of all, everyone knows protocol is you can't walk in front of the queen unless you're a guy in a furry hat. You're not supposed to walk in front of the queen.
Okay.
I'm like, anybody who's watched, you know, Wolf Hall knows that. Or the Tudors. And the other thing, she's a 92-year-old little old lady. Who budges in front of a little old lady with her little old lady hat and her little old lady handbag? Who does that?
All right, I'm going to be the contrarian here. I'll be the Kevin for a moment.
Wait, so you're going to budge in front of a 92-year-old little old lady? I'll kick your ass.
No.
Fight me.
Okay,
fight me, Greg.
We mentioned this earlier. We mentioned the Obama tan suit earlier, okay? And the Obama tan suit for me is Fox News just trying to find something to piss and moan about. Oh, I can't believe he's wearing a tan suit. I can't believe he's putting his feet on the desk. Oh, I can't believe. And it just seems like at some point we are just, oh, I can't believe he walked in front of the queen. Because 364 days out of the year, I don't care. I don't. I'm not a Anglophile. I'm not a Regalphile. I don't care about the queen. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness, God save the queen and all the gobsmacks, Bob's your uncle. No, I don't. And now I'm like, oh, I can't believe he did that. I can believe. You just said, I can't believe you. I mean, have I ever seen the Tudors? No, I haven't. I don't watch, what's the one that everyone watches with the people in the 20s? And they're like, oh my goodness.
Oh, The Crown.
No. The one with the place that everyone's like, it's this place that everyone.
Downton Abbey.
I don't watch Downton Abbey, and I don't remember its name either.
Clearly,
I don't.
I was about to say Branford Marsalis because I'm drunker than DJ usually is.
Yeah, well,
sounds impressive.
Is this Donald Trump's tan suit?
You yes know what it no. is? It's a bitch eating crackers moment. We used to joke on the internet that, like, when you hated an internet personality so much, nothing they could do was ever right. And be like, you know, if she's eating crackers, you'd be like, look at that bitch eating crackers. Like, she deserves crackers. That's what this is. It's a bitch eating crackers moment. But, you know, even so, basic etiquette is you don't budge in front of the 92-year-old lady. That she could be your grandma.
No, she couldn't. My grandma never had $5 billion. My grandma hated corgis. I hate corgis.
My grandma actually would have kicked Trump's ass. Both of my grandmothers would have, right, including the Republican one. They would not have put up with
they would have put
bullshit
up with that. Right. The point being, you know, for all of his other things, I can't get mired down about the fact that he just kind of walks where he wants to walk, that he thinks he's the most important. Okay, fine. I get it. I'm not going to get...
No, he's uniformly awful at all times and in all circumstances. And this just, you know, there's an image of him pushing past a little old lady that's kind of unpalatable.
You know, the aspect of that, this was bad form on the foreign relations stage.
It was not as bad as what he did at the NATO meeting, though.
Right. Oh, how he manhandled Theresa May.
Well, no, how he called them all out of, I don't know, whatever not important stuff they were doing, is to scream at them about their defense spending and act like a crisis had occurred, like NATO's a dues organization or something.
Sure, I agree. And it's that kind of stuff that I'm like, all right, now I can see, now we're talking policy, now we're talking about foreign relations, now I'm talking, but I'm not going to get upset about his tan suit. I'm not. And
see,
I'm not
am, because I am willing to have the bitch-eating crackers moment about Donald Trump. You know, I am that petty.
No, because in 4 years or 2 years from now, when we have our person in, when, you know, President Cory Booker, yes, I said it.
But President Cory Booker, he will actually go to London and, like, snow shovel the queen's car out. That's who Cory Booker is as a human being. Remember when he was mayor of Jersey City and people were like, my car is stuck in the snowstorm? He's like, I'll be right there.
Fine. Yeah. Okay, so on that, we want to thank everybody for listening. Please follow us on Twitter at #MPUPodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast. Okay, any final thoughts for the week to come?
DJ sent me an article this evening about Trump saying that the reason Democrats were hacked was because their security is not good enough. And DJ's response to that was, does this sound an awful lot like she was wearing a slutty outfit?
Yeah,
she asked
right.
for it. And yes, DJ, that's exactly what that sounds like. So that's DJ's input for the evening.